Welcome to the Aigi Mokwede Foundation podcast. At the Aigi Mokwede Foundation, we are committed to making a lasting impact on the lives of Africans by fostering innovation, accountability, and accessibility in public service delivery and healthcare. Our vision is a future where the public sectors of African countries can provide essential goods and services such as healthcare for the well-being of their citizens. Through the voices of leaders, changemakers, and experts, this podcast will take you on an exploration of the African public sector and healthcare spaces, and will leave you with a deeper understanding of the issues, challenges, and opportunities that exist within them. Subscribe to the Aigi Mokwede Foundation podcast for more thought-provoking discussions and a glimpse into the power of collective action and vision.
Welcome to the first episode of the Aigi Mokwede Foundation's podcast. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. My name is Buki Akinshemoyin, and I am the Director of Partnerships and Communications at the Foundation and the host of this podcast edition. I am excited to have with me today the co-founders of the Aigi Mokwede Foundation, Aigboje Aigi Mokwede and Ofowen Aigi Mokwede. Also joining me today is one of the esteemed members of our Leadership Council, Professor Enase Okonedo, Vice Chancellor of the Pan-Atlantic University and the former Dean of the Lagos Business School. During this podcast, we will be talking about the work of the Aigi Mokwede Foundation. Before going to our guests, let me share a little about the foundation. The Aigi Mokwede Foundation is a public sector-focused philanthropic organization with a mission to improve the lives of Africans through transformed public service delivery and access to quality primary healthcare. We believe that a strong, accountable, and efficient public sector is essential to the growth and development of the African continent and the well-being of its citizens. Ultimately, the Foundation's vision is to close the gap between Africa and the rest of the world. My first question is directed to you, Aigboje. There are many different foundations in Nigeria dedicated to solving different needs. However, the distinct focus of the Aigi Mokwede Foundation on transforming the public sector is unique. Could you share the background story or catalyst that led to this unique focus?
When I think about the work philanthropists and foundations focus on in Africa, clearly the general pattern is a desire to contribute to nation building, a desire to contribute towards accelerating the development of the African continent. But in all the work that these foundations do, other non-state actors in terms of their contribution to nation building and so on, the most important lever of success or failure is the quality of the public service. I grew up knowing the public service very, very well because both of my parents were public servants. And many Nigerians of my age and those probably who were born in the 70s as well will recall a time when, if you know, Nigeria functioned effectively, so much so that Chinua Achebe, who himself actually was a public servant in the 60s in Nigeria, he was the director of the equivalent of Nigeria's BBC at the time, titled one of his books, There Was Once a Country. And he harked back at this bygone era, where even though we began to see some of the typical challenges that a nation faces, such as corruption, overall, the Nigerian government system operated very well. And as a result, our development indices were quite remarkable. And without a doubt, the state bureaucracy offered opportunities for exceptional Nigerians to come and make their own contribution towards nation building. As a result of this, even I recall our competition at the time, the likes of, and when I say competition, I'm talking about states like Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, and states that today, you know, the world, you know, gives a lot of kudos to for their progress in development. At that time, actually saw us at their benchmark as their most important competitor. But nonetheless, that is then, and we are now here in the 21st century, where the situation is starkly different. Certainly, the nation we have and the continent we have is not the one that we wanted in terms of performance.
I believe that
whilst non-state actors will continue to do their own bit in terms of contributing to health and other sectors of human activity, or other spheres of human activity, if we do not get to the root issue of public sector leadership, it will be one step forward and, you know, frustratingly a number of steps, you know, backwards. So our approach in the foundation is not simply philanthropic. It's not giving back, and it's not doing good. It's a strategic commitment to effecting change within the public sector and using that as a catalyst to effect change within Nigeria and the larger continent. We leverage our resources, financial, we bring our talent and our expertise within the foundation to the table, and we have a very, very strong network of supporters, partners, and so on, who have joined us to walk our journey together. We feel that, you know, it's not about just addressing the symptoms, it's addressing the root cause of the challenges faced by Nigeria and our continent. Thank you.
Thank you, Aibuje. Thanks for taking us through that background where we started and where we are today. Ofoe, could you provide us with an overview of some key initiatives and projects that the foundation is undertaking within the public service?
Thank you, Buki. I would categorize our work in the public sector into three main groups. The first is support for civil service reforms. The second is capacity building for civil servants. And the third is advocacy. So for civil service reforms, what we aim to do is support the reform efforts across the civil service, existing reform efforts. We signed a partnership agreement with the Office of the Head of the Civil Service of the Federation, which is responsible for the entirety of the civil service. And we helped to develop a strategy plan that serves as a compass for all the federal reforms that are taking place right now. Key levers for change were identified, and these include digitalization, performance management, capacity building, staff welfare, and so on. So as part of this partnership, we actively support some of these levers. One of these is digitalization. To support the digitalization efforts, we provided project management and capacity building support that allowed the civil servants to first articulate their business processes and then successfully digitalize these processes with an enterprise content management system, which we funded as a foundation. As of today, I am proud to say that the Office of the Head of the Civil Service has over 8,000 processes fully automated, and this is cascading down to other ministries, departments, and agencies. A key part of our strategy to facilitate improvement in the public sector is ensuring that public servants are actually equipped with the tools that they need to implement reforms. So this is the second area of our work, capacity building. And we run capacity building programs for public servants. And we also support the Office of the Head of the Civil Service with its own training programs. And finally,
in terms of the public sector reforms, we recognize that lasting change won't happen unless the issue of culture, the culture in the public sector, is addressed. The famous saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast, basically means that no matter how wonderful your strategy is, if there isn't an enabling culture in the organization that encourages people to implement the strategy, it will fail. It is clear that a mindset shift in the public service is overdue. So we supported the Office of the Head of the Civil Service to outline a culture change program, which seeks to introduce an innovative and merit-based system of thinking and operating in the service. It encourages civil servants to recognize and embody positive values, including accountability, loyalty, professionalism, efficiency, and so on, and to discourage behaviors that impede efficiency. It's a long journey. We acknowledge that a lot of work has to be done in this area, but we look at it as a marathon and not a sprint. And finally, in terms of our advocacy, we use evidence-based advocacy to equip citizens with the information they need to be able to assess the performance of the public sector and hold government accountable. We see reforms as very necessary, and we want to encourage all Nigerian citizens to actually engage with the reforms process and call for more reforms, because that will have positive impacts on their lives. But they can't do this unless they have the right information. So we are undertaking a number of projects under this advocacy bucket. One of these is the Public Sector Performance Index that will provide the general public with accurate information about the performance of key Nigerian ministries, departments, and agencies. We're also carrying out research on the reasons behind the success and failure of past public sector reform efforts in the country so that people can see, you know, where we went wrong and what needs to be done in the future to make our reform sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you, Ofowe. Thanks for that. Professor Kanedo, Ofowe's response alluded to capacity building initiatives that the foundation is running in collaboration with the Office of the Head of the Civil Service of the Federation, the OHCSF. Can you take us through some of these initiatives?
Thank you, Buki. Certainly, I'll be happy to do so. Leadership capacity is an important factor when we're seeking to drive change. And the foundation has prioritized closing the existing capacity gaps by providing training opportunities for civil servants that are tasked with the responsibility of implementing reforms. And I'm delighted to state that to date, we have provided over 400 civil servants with project-specific training. Additionally, the foundation partners with the Blavatnik School of Government at the University of Oxford to offer an executive education program called the AIG Public Leaders Program for senior leaders in the public sector. This intensive executive training is meant to transform each participant into a change agent in his or her ministry, department, or agency. So far, we have had two cohorts of the program. We have trained over 100 participants, and our current cohort, due to graduate next year, has 68 participants. We have also offered 30 fully funded scholarships to exceptional civil servants to earn a master's in public policy at the Blavatnik School of Government, University of Oxford. What the foundation does is to identify the need for capacity building in the public service and address it comprehensively through quality training. For example, this year, we have partnered with the University of Oxford to hold a capacity building program for all federal permanent secretaries to help with the transition to a new government administration. We firmly believe by tackling these issues comprehensively, we can contribute to a more responsive, more accountable, and indeed, more effective public sector in Nigeria.
Indeed. Thank you, Professor Kanedo. So this brings me to an interesting question, and I'd like to direct this to Aibuje. Aibuje, what has the civil services reception been to the foundation's initiatives?
So our experience, you know, working with the Nigerian civil service, which is a part of the larger public service, has for me on the whole been generally positive. Certainly I have met a number of highly dedicated public servants who bring passion and capacity to the table when pursuing reform, and who are very much clued into our vision of improving the public sector for the benefit of all Nigerians. The current head of the Nigerian Civil Service is a prime example of such a person. And a number of other permanent secretaries that we've worked with, and directors, and, you know, across all cadres, really, have displayed such admirable qualities. At the same time, it would be remiss of me not to say that we have not encountered the stereotypical Nigerian civil service person, you know. Who is that person? The reform-resistant individual who clings to those things that Nigerians don't want to see and don't want to hear. But this is not a surprise, because, you know, expecting uniform support from a very wide group of stakeholders would be very naive of us. The complexities of our country and the huge lack of investment in the civil service over time has contributed in no small measure to some of the challenges it faces today. But we expected this, and indeed our studies about how the civil service functions, past reform efforts that have worked and not worked, have really prepared us, you know, for the work we do, you know, to transform the way it operates today. But one of our success points has been on the issue of partnership and collaboration. We recognize that we are not government. We recognize that we are a non-state actor. We know that we are Nigerians, we are passionate and committed, but it is not, we don't have the primary mandate to run government. And therefore, it would be impossible for us to succeed if we do not have partners in government, willing partners, committed partners to do the work that we do. And so collaboration is a key strategy that we have deployed in our contributions to reform. And what do I mean by collaboration? We identify public servants or offices, could be departments, could be an entire ministry, whose leadership shares the kind of passion for change that we want, that we need, or that we have, and, you know, establish an agreement that together we will make this change happen. And we find that if you are true to collaboration, it builds the kind of trust that enables you weather the storms when they come, because storms will always come in reform. So we first of all identify prime candidates within the civil service for us to collaborate with. And I think that on the strength and on the back of that collaboration, it's then easier for us to crowd in other partners and stakeholders, like universities, for instance, you know, in the University of Oxford, and like consultants like McKinsey, and, you know, the other consultants you have in, you know, and other partners. And because of the trust they see that exists in our partnership with government, you know, it buys us a lot of credibility with third-party stakeholders, who, of course, watch very carefully our relationship with government to see whether it is sustained or it is weakening. Now, for the typical civil servant, they need to see early signs of success. And perhaps that is where we've been fortunate, because we have a number of wins in the areas of digitalization. We have a number of wins in capacity building, where as a result of the collaboration and the work, you can see civil servants making progress, making an impact on the country, and they are getting recognized for it. And as they get recognized for it, it validates their efforts and they dive even deeper into this reform process. Most importantly, this gives them leverage when it comes to dealing with their colleagues that might be fearful of change and resistant to change, because they have proof points, you know, to point to say, this is why, you know, it is worth it. So I think collaboration is probably, or this collaborative approach that we've adopted to overcoming resistance, to, you know, winning confidence in stakeholders, you know, has been one of our key elements of success. Look, we are on a marathon here. It's not a sprint. Could not even be seen as a series of sprints. It's truly a marathon, and perhaps a marathon without end. And so it's not just one set of public servants that we're going to be dealing with. This is a generational issue. We want a situation where those who are junior today, as they go through the ranks, middle level, right up to the top, okay, are prepared well in advance of when, you know, real power and authority comes into their hands. And even then, when you think about the civil service and when you think about any large organization, you know, the middle of it is so key. So, you know, we feel that I like to use the analogy of the tide coming in to lift the boats that the Nigerian citizens are sitting in to higher and higher levels of development. And what we need to make sure is that our civil servants, our public servants, you know, bring wave after wave of transformation, never ending, so that the tide never goes out and then leaves Nigerians stranded as we've had in the past. Thank you.
Thanks, Aigwejay. Let me take you to an initiative of the foundation that recently kicked off and that I am quite excited about. The foundation recently signed a tripartite agreement with the Edo State Government and the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria, PSHAN, to revitalize 18 primary healthcare centers in Edo State. This is a very ambitious project, but at the same time, truly visionary. What inspired you to take on this vision?
In 2020, early, I think January, I was in Davos, Switzerland. And I think I remember climbing on a stage. It was actually a stage because it was in a hall that maybe a theater. But anyway, I climbed this stage and addressed quite a large audience that was health development focused. And, you know, I said, I find it very painful that long after the world has addressed pandemics or major disease issues, Africa, however, continues to carry that burden. And as a result, you find that Africa becomes the capital of the disease burden of issues that have long since been addressed, you know, by the rest of the world, malaria, HIV, and so on. Little did I know that in a few weeks thereafter, you know, the whole world would not be able to do anything like Davos as we shut down when the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, really showed itself for what it was. And one of the reasons why Africa continues to carry the burden of pandemics long after the rest of the world has put them to bed is the weak state of our healthcare systems, particularly at the primary level. And so in Davos, I went on to say that, look, whilst in Nigeria, we commend the efforts of the Professor Ransom Kuti-led initiative to transform Nigeria's primary health care system by building out 30,000 primary health care centers across the world, which from a baseline infrastructure standpoint is more than sufficient infrastructurally for the needs of even our population today. The fact that less than 20% of these primary health care units and facilities are functioning and providing the care that they should is tragic. And I said, look, we've been speaking about this issue in Nigeria, but we are not making progress at revitalizing our primary healthcare system. And I said, it's time for the private sector, and I'm not just talking about companies, but I'm also speaking about NGOs and philanthropists, to stand in the gap and show what a primary healthcare system can look like if, you know, you have a well thought through sustainable strategy for same, addressing issues of funding, addressing issues of personnel, addressing issues of supply chains to ensure that the essential drugs and other medical equipment are available to treat patients. And then, of course, issues of governance, by making sure that able Nigerians actually, you know, act as custodians of these healthcare facilities. And thus, you know, I said, you know, I challenged Nigeria and our friends internationally to adopt one primary healthcare center in each of Nigeria's 774 local government areas. And my belief that when we do this and we show government how and what is possible, that government would be left with no option but to address, you know, the you know, thousands of other healthcare centers. And so far, about 200 healthcare centers have been adopted. Centrally, one of the foundations or NGOs that we support, the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria, is coordinating this effort. You know, we place the role of coordination in the hands of this excellent organization, on whose board of directors I serve, along with other notable Nigerians. And on our own, I mean, we have to put our you know, our wallets and our pockets where our mouth is. We have adopted 23 primary healthcare centers, with 18 of them in Edo State. Thank you.
A truly noble cause, Aibuje, and one that will go a long way to address our high mortality rates, especially with low-income earners. So tell me, what are the foundation's plans to ensure that this vision is sustainable beyond the revitalization of the PHCs?
The Aigim Okwede Foundation theory of change requires us to take an evidence-based approach when we want to proffer solutions to Africa's challenges. In the case of primary healthcare, we partnered with the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria, PSHAN, to commission a study. It took almost a year, by a team of experts, so that we could understand the facts and figures behind the unacceptable state of the current unacceptable state of Nigeria's primary healthcare system. And we learned many things. One of them, for instance, is that yes, funds are required, but that beyond funding, governance was probably even more important, because it's not to say that funding was not coming into the primary healthcare system. even with the limited funding and the funding constraints, what was being delivered was still unacceptable. And therefore, good governance at three levels, the national, state, and obviously, you know, the local government level, as far as the government stakeholders are concerned, was an imperative. So the program was designed in such a way that all stakeholders were brought to the table. And the memorandums of agreements that enable the adoption of a primary healthcare center has been designed with sustainability in mind. In our case, you know, with the 25 primary healthcare centers, 23 or 25 primary healthcare centers that we're committed to, we have entered into agreements with the Edo State government at one level, the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria as well. And in this all, we're also working with the National Primary Health Agency. This is, you know, as far as government is concerned. I suspect that the number of stakeholders that will be involved in our work, you know, will expand. You know, we have interesting ideas for telemedicine and interesting ideas for using technology in other ways for supply chain management. But back to the issue of sustainability, every adopter you are mandated to commit to a five-year adoption, so to speak. And the whole idea is that for 5 years, we will work, in our case, as an adopter, and we believe that every other adopter will do so. We will work with each of those PHCs as if they are babies, you know, in partnership with government, identifying what their challenges are. And, you know, just like any parent would have to, we are co-parenting along with government. You know, we have to ensure that our primary healthcare centers, you know, are nurtured and developed, you know, into outstanding deliverers of primary healthcare. So we have standard operating procedure templates. We have a nationwide supply chain, you know, system that is coordinated by PSHAN. We are now beginning to work on talent pools to enable us have nurses and other medical personnel that will man the primary health centers, you know, at the level that is required for them to deliver world-class, you know, healthcare. We know that this is going to require continuous learning on the part of everybody, as in all good things, that is, you learn together and then you perform together. And certainly, we will work for sustainability. Thank you.
Thank you, Aibuje. Okay, so how can individuals and organizations engage and collaborate with the initiatives of the foundation in this transformational journey?
We know our vision is ambitious, very ambitious. To close the gap between Africa and the rest of the world is not an easy task at all, and will be a journey of several miles over decades. But we are determined. But we know that if we try and walk alone, you know, we may go far, but to get to the destination, certainly, you know, we have to work with partners. And we do not intend to go on this journey alone. And so in a structured, systematic fashion, we seek partners, collaborators, who could be individuals, could be organizations, including multilateral organizations, and of course governments, to come together hand in hand, pooling our resources and our capabilities, backed by this vision of closing the gap between Africa and the rest of the world, and deliver tangible benefits to Africans, thus making our vision a reality. And whether it's through healthcare initiatives or leadership, capacity building initiatives in the public sector, whether it's digital reform, we welcome partners to expand and sustain the impact of the work we do. We also believe in the power of advocacy and awareness, which, of course, our podcast series is aimed at achieving. And so I hope that for every listener, we have a potential partner. We look forward to working together with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Igboje. And completely, yes, partnerships and collaborations are so important. As I say, we can only do so much on our own, but with partnerships and collaborations, we can do so much more. Okay, so Professor Okanedo, you are currently a serving member of the Leadership Council of the Foundation. What drew you to be a part of this journey of transforming the public sector in Nigeria?
Thanks, Buki. Let me begin by saying how immensely proud I am to serve as a member of the Leadership Council of the Aigi Mokwede Foundation, primarily because I can envision the future and I can see how the work that the foundation does, which is aimed at strengthening the public sector in Nigeria, can bring about lasting transformation, not only in the public sector, but also in our nation. One must recognize the public sector's pivotal role in shaping our nation's destiny. Because the public sector is not just a service provider, it is an enabler of developments and a custodian of public resources. Being able to contribute to making it more efficient and responsive to the needs of our people, I consider to be a noble endeavor. I was also drawn to the foundation's commitment to creating sustainable change. It's not about short-term fixes or quick wins. It's about building the foundations for long-term success. And this aligns perfectly with both my personal values as well as my professional background. It is about leaving a lasting legacy of positive change that future generations can build upon. The council also provides me a unique platform to work alongside like-minded individuals who are extremely passionate about driving positive change. Together, I believe that we can influence policies, we can implement innovative solutions, and ultimately contribute to the betterment of our society.
Thank you, Professor Okanedo. The breadth of projects and initiatives the foundation has achieved in the past few years is incredible. Ofoe, could you share some success stories from the initiatives the foundation has carried out over the years?
Thank you, Buki. So I'd say one of our noteworthy successes is the role we played in the digital transformation of the Office of the Head of the Civil Service of the Federation. With our support, as I said earlier, the office is now fully digitalized and all their processes are automated. This digitalization process is now being cascaded across all federal ministries, departments, and agencies using the process that we went through with the OHCSF as a template. And this will result in streamlined processes, improved data management, and increased efficiency across the public sector. One of our goals is to ensure sustainability. So we build the capacity of the civil servants themselves to actually drive this digitalization process. And the hope is that with the training that all of the stakeholders have received in the Office of the Head of the Civil Service of the Federation, they will be able to cascade this across all the MDAs. Also, with our capacity building programs, we are producing a new generation of public sector leaders who are positioned to make a big difference in the public sector. So one of the things that we're very proud of in our AIG Public Leaders Program is the change project that participants have to implement in their various ministries, departments, and agencies. So they are given the task of using the learnings that they have gained from the program to go into their organizations and find a problem or a challenge to solve. Many of these projects have resulted in significant governance and service delivery breakthroughs. And the projects span from aerospace management and healthcare to public financial management, because our public leaders program participants are from all across the various ministries, departments, and agencies of Nigeria, both federally and subnationally. And we also have international participants from South Africa and Kenya. And so the impact of these projects on change in these various organizations is amazing and something that we are very, very proud of. It basically demonstrates the ripple effect that you get from investing in leadership and capacity building of public servants. Also, one of our scholars, Hakima Nosanya, was recently recognized by the Future Awards for his strides in the public sector. So he leads the curation, execution, and evaluation of startups in Lagos State. So, you know, I think that in terms of the impact that we are having, it is not necessarily things that we are doing directly, even though, as I said, the digitalization that is taking place across the federal civil service is key, but it is the way that we empower the public servants themselves to have an impact. And I think that this is really how you build a sustainable change in the public sector. And this is something we're very proud of.
Thank you, Ofowe. Thanks for sharing those success stories. And it's really good to see how the learnings in those programs are transformed to live projects within the ministries, departments, and the agencies. So, Ofowe, as we look to the future, what are the milestones you hope to achieve within the public service and the impact that it will make in the next 5 to 10 years?
Thank you, Buki. So, we'll continue to support reforms across the civil service. I mean, that's our goal. But over the next 5 to 10 years, we're focused really on digitalization, which is, I think, will result in a more agile, responsive, and accountable public sector. And we hope that this digitalization, in conjunction with other reform efforts taking place, such as performance management and innovation, will result in a public sector that is better able to provide the essential goods and services to Nigerian citizens. I've talked before about the impact of the public servants that we train. Our goal is to train at least 3,000 public servants over the next decade through our various capacity building programs. You know, we want to build a critical mass of public sector leaders who believe in the possibility of a better public sector and who actually have the tools, the skills, the knowledge, the connections to make the changes that are needed. This critical mass is essential because, you know, you come across obstacles when you're trying to drive change. But when there are other people within the public sector who share your vision, who have the same kind of training and who have a focus on actually driving change, then this will be better. So really our goal is to build this critical mass. 3,000, I would say, is the minimum number that we want to have. In terms of healthcare, the Adopt a Health Facility program, you know, we really want to support the Private Sector Health Alliance of Nigeria to establish one PHC in the 774 local government areas. We think that this ambitious objective can be realized through collaborative efforts involving institutions, individuals and the private sector. By encouraging and facilitating the adoption of PHC centers, we think that we can ensure that even the most remote and underserved communities have access to quality healthcare services. So these are some of the things, amongst a lot of others, that we hope to achieve over the next 5 to 10 years. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Fawwa. So yes, at the training of at least 3,000 public servants over the next decade, at least one fully functional primary healthcare center in each of our 774 local governments in Nigeria. So yes, exciting times ahead. Okay, so it's been an honor to have you here today, Aigboje Ofowe and Professor Enasi Okanedo. As we conclude this episode, I want to express our deep appreciation for your time and commitment to the Aike Mokade Foundation's mission. Your insights has enriched this podcast and given our audience a deeper understanding of the Foundation's transformative work. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for joining us on this insightful journey today. We've delved into the hearts of the Aike Mokade Foundation's mission, explored our unique focus on the public sector, and heard about the incredible initiatives transforming the landscape of public service delivery in Nigeria. As we conclude this first episode, I am reminded of our theory of change. A public sector that is effective, values-driven, and results-focused will improve the continent's socio-economic performance and lead to better outcomes for its citizens, which is the vision that the Aike Mokade Foundation is trying to achieve. So what can you expect in the future? Our journey has just started. We'll continue to bring you inspiring stories, insightful discussions, and thought-provoking insights from the Aike Mokade Foundation and our partners as we work towards a better, more effective public sector. Thank you for joining us on this very first podcast episode. To learn more about the Aike Mokade Foundation, please visit our website, aikemokadefoundation.org, and follow us across our social media platforms. Remember to subscribe, share, and leave your feedback. There is a lot to do, and your support is crucial as we embark on this journey of transformation.
This has been an episode of the Aige Mokade Foundation podcast. Remember to subscribe, share, and leave us a review if you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, stay inspired and remember that together we can build a brighter Africa.